Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Welcome to the Chasedown Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Cavaliers have found a way to tie this series up at 2-2 in an ugly game. It's hard to describe exactly how I feel, as it was one of those nights where it felt like anytime the process was sound, they weren't rewarded with points. And when they just threw up junk, it seemed to work. Carter Rodriguez is with me to help break everything down. Carter, how are you feeling right now?
I'm just so put out right now. I just don't care. Well, I care, but I'm like just exasperated. Like that's what, like I just tweeted this. But like my fun per minute stats are just terrible right now. I'm so uninspired. Like the basketball sucks in this series.
Yeah, it's been bad basketball. We can get into that, and I'm sure we will very shortly. I felt that there were moments in this game where the Cavs were taking a step in the right direction, and then there were moments where it looked like this team had absolutely no idea what it's doing. I guess the encouraging thing is that you know they have at least two more games to try to figure things out. But beyond that, it's still so tough to get a read on the series just because of how bad they played.
Yeah, everyone sucks. Kevin Love.
Man, Kevin Love had a breakdown in this game. Like, he was just absolutely terrible. Like, the two fouls were brutal. I think the second one was a little bit shaky, but then he was just kind of in his own head. He was pressing way too much. I know that this was an important game. It was essentially a must win for the Cavs. But yeah, he did not come out with the poise that was required of him.
Yeah, I mean, Thad Young has had a better series than I think I would have expected on the defensive end. I think he's been really good there. He had 16 rebounds tonight. Jeez. Sorry, I'm just looking over the like the full box score right now. But like Love, I mean, favorite possession of the game. He gets an offensive rebound, just gets the ball ripped away from him cleanly by Young, and then walks down the court complaining to the ref while the Pacers score on a 5-on-4.
Yeah, Thad Young has been absolutely sensational. I tweeted it during the game, but he's living rent-free in Love's head right now. He's just been bodying him, and the most frustrating part of this game to me was how much success the Cavs were having with a center on the court, whether that be Tristan Thompson or Larry Nance. I think Thompson was a little more effective. He actually gave some quality minutes to the team. He's a +7 in their minutes there. And I found that the pick and roll was really compromising Indiana's defense. It wasn't always rewarded, and they didn't make the sharpest decisions in that. But the way the defense was collapsing, that was opening up other opportunities. And then after it was working, all of a sudden that was just completely abandoned again. And at this point, Ty Lue, the issues are just piling up. And there are justifiable reasons for why a rotation hasn't been figured out, given how much roster turnover has been there. But at the same time, it's just a matter of looking at what is working throughout the course of a game and going back to it. Every time that they seem to gain momentum, that just gets completely abandoned.
Yeah, I don't know, man. As our good friend Ryan Morton says, the dumbest thing we do on here is talk about coaching because we don't really know what's going on. But like, I don't think it's that hard to know. Don't play Jeff Green an entire quarter,
right? But it's not even whether or not we have an understanding of the minutiae of what's going into a coaching job. As I said, it's look at what's been working. Are you going back to it again throughout the course of a game? And the answer so far in the series has been no. I do think it's big that the team got a win here without George Hill, because Hill has probably been their third best player in the series. It was great to see Jordan Clarkson get going.
He's been the second best.
Okay, good point. Jeez. Yeah, he's probably been their second best player in the series.
That's a good poll for the Chase on Twitter. It's just like, who's been the second best? Is it Love? Is it Korver? Is it?
It might be Korver. I mean, Korver had a rough start to this game.
Games.
Yeah, but who hasn't at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, George Hill had
such a bad series.
Yeah. Korver might have saved the season, though, with those corner threes.
And then them freaking out so much about him on the next play that LeBron was able to waltz straight to the rim one-on-one against Bogdanović.
Yeah, LeBron's second half, once again, was terrifying shades of 2010.
He played 46 minutes today, so it's like, how much of it is just getting a little tired and, like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he was exhausted, and the fourth quarter was exceptional, but there was a stretch in the third quarter, which those third quarters have just been kryptonite for the Cavs. They completely lose their composure. Again, I think some of that is on Tyronn Lue and his rotation management. But they gotta figure that out, because they might be able to get away with it against the Pacers. I don't think they're completely out of the woods yet.
I don't either, man.
But it's going to burn them in the next round if they get there.
Doesn't it feel like the Cavs don't have home court advantage right now?
Not necessarily.
It does not feel like a 2-2 series to me, man. Like, their two wins have been so uninspiring.
Honestly, this feels so much like 2015 against the Bulls, where the Bulls handled the Cavs in Game 1. The Cavs kind of boat raced the Bulls in Game 2, which is the only difference. Game 3 had the Derrick Rose buzzer beater, which this game the Cavs missed their buzzer beater in Game 3. And then Game 4 was that LeBron... Well, first, David Blatt almost blowing the game, and the refs missed that assignment. And then LeBron hitting a game winner. So you escape there, and hopefully they're able to take care of business in Game 5. Because I think if you get that, I feel fairly confident that they would win one of the last two games there.
Yeah, I guess. How do you... I mean, I'm not... Okay,
you're being a wet blanket.
I am being a wet blanket, but
where's the irrational fandom? Come on.
Like, bear with me here and like saying, like, I don't know how you can be confident in this team doing anything good or bad. Like, this is such an unknown, and like, well, maybe it's a known unknown, like that they're just not that good, so it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know if I'm all the way there on the they're just not that good train, but I'm getting closer and closer every game. But even then, it's so hard to tell because there are so many obvious mistakes being made.
Right.
That, like, it's like, well, is this a matter of the ceiling of the team? Is it that they don't know any plays because they've never played together?
I think it's the last two. It's a combination of the last two. It's got to be hard to not know what your role is going to be on a night-to-night basis. And that problem gets even bigger when you have little to no familiarity with any of the lineup combinations, which, as I said, some of that's within the Cavs' control, some of that isn't. I really think it's just a cascading amount of issues that have given the Cavs as much difficulty as they've had.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is tough to diagnose. I think that, you know, if we're looking at things that, you know, actionable items for the Cavs to improve, I think I'm ready to say, other than like short bursts, I want a center on the court at all times. I just do. Yep. I want to see,
especially in this series. Especially in the series. As I said, one, it worked offensively. Two, with this weird pairing of bigs with Miles Turner and Thad Young, you just can't have Love being the only center out there. Both Thompson and Nance should have the ability to go out there and and hang with Turner on the perimeter. I don't know if he's going to have as hot of a shooting game as he did in game four again. But I think those guys are able to be a little more disruptive. I think that helps the Cavs on the boards, and it puts Love in a less vulnerable position defensively.
Does anyone have less sure hands than Jeff Green on the defensive boards? I mean, Jesus Christ. And on the offensive boards, like, in the fourth quarter, did he have at least three rebounds that just fell out of his hands?
Yeah, that sounds about right. How do we feel about that last possession there, the hostile act?
I think it was closer to a jump ball than Cavs Twitter wanted to admit.
But I'll agree with that.
But also, he attacked
him. Yeah, the funny thing was that it was initially called a foul. I think jump ball may have been the right call in that situation, but hey, it benefited me, so I'm going to put my blinders on.
Yeah, I don't know. Overall Twitter, not just Cavs Twitter, seemed to think it was more jump ball than foul, while also being like, what the hell are you doing, Lance? So
yeah, in those moments, I tend to defer to people that don't have as much invested in this. And plus, my initial thought was, okay, that's a jump ball. Like, it was a little questionable only because he came over the back, but the way Green was holding it was over the back of his head. So he was able to get at the ball first there.
Yeah, I mean, for what it's worth, my first instinct was to be like, God damn it, Jeff.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Oh, I was ready to go at Matt Moore for that.
Oh, I think Matt knows. What I do want to talk about Jeff Green here a little bit more. What's so crazy about his playoffs so far is that he has been good for the Cavs in stretches this season and has done zero of the things that have made him an effective player for the Cavs this season. In these
right, he absolutely saved the Cavs at times in this game. Like, he hit some massive timely shots, but as you said, his success,
he's been good.
Yeah, his isolated successes within this game have nothing to do with his successful season or stretches that he's had within the year.
Yeah, like, I mean, I haven't seen a baseline cut in months.
I haven't seen that out of anybody.
Yeah, man, it's just brutal. And like, he also
imagine
like,
getting easy shots for yourself.
Yeah, he had also like really done a nice job in isolation on defense. Nothing like playing with cement shoes defensively. Like, I know Oladipo's fast, but he blows by him whenever. It's like, man, it's like, just do what you were doing.
I'm still a little upset.
The season.
I'm a little upset we haven't seen Jetty Osman.
Yeah, I mean, I had a macabre thought. Well, not that macabre, but like when it was looking like they were going to lose, I was like, it'll be fun to see Jetty develop next season as a starter.
Yeah, yeah. Him, Mikal Bridges. Yeah.
Yeah, might still be happening. But yeah, I don't know. I will say, I think the Calderon experiment was fun, and like he did give nice regular season minutes, but this series has kind of proven like, oh yeah, it's the playoffs. It's harder.
Yeah, in the playoffs, your limitations are going to be exposed in a way that just doesn't occur in the regular season as frequently.
Yeah, and guys like that, like, I think guys who really just understand the game and have like a high internal skill set, like they kind of can thrive in the regular season when like the intensity is a 6 or a 7.
Right.
But when it's been at a 9 or 10, he doesn't look quite up to the task. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't really know where this team gets better in the next 2 games and or 3 games, and maybe it's enough to get them out of the series, but it's like, shit, they have to figure some stuff out. Like, they have to find Kevin Love somewhere. Like, I mean, I thought we were about to get the Jordan Clarkson game, and then it just kind of petered out.
Well, LeBron was still hugging him after the game, so I think he still somewhat trusts Clarkson. I honestly think the answers start with playing a center. Especially when you look at tonight, the big men absolutely and throughout the series have demolished the Cavs. Like, you got Turner 12-16, Young 12-16, Miles Turner 17 points. He only had 3 rebounds, but he destroyed them offensively. Sabonis manhandled them. He had 19 points and 6 boards on 9-of-12 shooting. Like, it's that seems to be one of the biggest problems, and I don't understand why they're so married to the idea of Kevin Love starting at the 5, especially now that they aren't starting Jeff Green. To me, that's what I thought the compromise was. But if Jeff Green's not starting, you got to play a center out there, because it just seems like they're putting too much stock in that November run that was fool's gold against bad teams, and they aren't acknowledging the reality of their limitations defensively.
Yeah, and it's not even like, I mean, Green's a solid 6'9". Like, Korver, Smith, Calderon, Love, and James, like, that's small. That's just small, and, like, needlessly small.
Like, yeah.
I don't think Nance has been great in this series. I think
he has not.
I think Thompson looked solid when he got his only 7 minutes.
Yeah, but Nance did look a little bit better than he has in past games today.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I just think
he's missing a little bit of, like, the hop, like, even yeah, like the quick reaction. Like, he used to move so well, just laterally, and that seems to be lacking since his hamstring injury.
Yeah, maybe he just needs the summer to get better. Who knows?
Well, that's ideal.
Yeah. you know, I think that this Pacers team is pretty exploitable if you have guys diving at the rim.
Yep.
And when you're playing 5 out, like, sure, like, that sounds great, but you do put a lot of burden on LeBron to just create off of switches. And even then, like, I mean, they're doing a nice job on him in a way that, you know, like, you don't want to say, like, Bojan Bogdanovic is doing a good job on LeBron. But he is. And, like...
Yeah. No, he plays solid defense. Like,
and they're playing a conservative
defense.
Bogey's
been a very
good
player.
Yep. And they're not having to help off as much as you'd want to. So the 5 out is not as effective as you'd want it to be. And, like, people that, like, you know, the pace and space people understandably really appreciate the 5 out look in it, and LeBron with 4 shooters has a really strong track record of being really tough, but LeBron with a dominant role man also has a really strong track record of being tough. And
right, and LeBron with almost any lineup has a strong track record. Like, I think yeah, you can make anything work, and Love has been effective in the past alongside a center. Even if you're looking at the advanced numbers, like, Love, LeBron, and Nance has worked very well throughout this season. I don't think you can just because Tristan put together a few good minutes, which did have a few kind of head scratching moments as well, I don't think all of a sudden you can say, okay, he has to be a staple in the rotation after being completely out of it. But I do think that you need to start Nance, and then that opens up the possibility of giving Tristan little stretches here and there. And as you said, in this series, the Pacers defense really hasn't had to do a whole lot. Like, the
no,
Cavs
a lot of
don't
standing around.
Yeah, like, the Cavs don't do a lot of things that compromise the defense and force them to kind of scramble. And the pick and roll is one of the few things that has done that. And the Cavs have just not put themselves in a position to exploit that advantage on the interior.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like Blue believes in his centers. Or what I'm trying to figure out, do you think Tyronn Lue doesn't believe in his centers, or does he not believe in the Cavs' construction of using a center?
Man, I can't really put myself inside the head of Tyronn Lue there.
If you had to guess.
I think that he's scrambling to find something that's worked, and Love working at center offensively has been one thing that has been a somewhat constant. And with Nance coming back, not looking great after his hamstring injury, and most of the season of trying to hope that Tristan starts looking like himself again or close to himself, I think he just doesn't have a lot of faith in those two at the moment, and he doesn't want to try to integrate something that they haven't been doing throughout the season when they're already just trying to figure out how to play with one another.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that he believes in the idea of Love at center more than he doesn't believe in Nance and Thompson. I think he really likes Jeff Green. There's no way around it.
Yep.
And I think he considers Love at center a means to an end to get to play guys like Green more.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying he's making his entire rotation decision based on Green, but if you believe in the concept and it helps you play the guy you want to play more, well, then that's it. Yeah. Bonus points, I guess.
To some extent, I feel like we've just beaten the Jeff Green horse to death.
Yeah, that's not what I was trying to do there.
Wailing away on it. How did you feel about Rodney Hood in this game? Because it felt like early on he had an opportunity to kind of seize more minutes with Korver struggling. He had a couple nice shots in the first quarter.
He did not hit a couple nice shots because he only made one tonight.
Well, no, he hit two. But
No, he did not. One of two from the field today, I promise.
I am I'm looking at the
box score right now.
I'm looking at the wrong box score. When did that change over? Oh, I have two tabs open. I have Cavs Pacers box score from game two, and I have the box score from game four open. So
that's all right. I don't know why Hood was better in stretches. He just didn't really get a chance to show it because it seems like feels like the fact that Lou is willing to play Jeff Green at the three in stretches next to Love and Thompson or Love and Nance, plus the fact that J.R. Smith is currently playing like 36 minutes a game, plus Korver,
which to his credit, J.R. has actually been good, especially
been
defensively.
Solid, yeah. But the point is, it's not leaving a lot of room for Hood in the rotation. And he hasn't really earned it. I thought he was fine today. I just think he's been fine to forgettable. That's how I felt about him today. Like, he's either like, it's not bad, or he's out there. And very rarely in the series have I gone, oh, nice, Hood. Hood's checking.
Yeah, I think forgettable is the best way to describe him. He hasn't been glaring. Like, his mistakes haven't been massive, but
other
he's just failed
dribbling off his own effing feet.
Those haven't been great.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Overall,
yeah.
He's been,
God.
You know, it's like, it's so hard to analyze this shit because it's just like, yeah, he's been bad. What about him? He's been bad. And, like, not bad in a way that, like, begets a ton of analysis. That's what sucks about, like, all these role players sucking. It's like, yeah, he's been bad. Oh, yeah, like, but, like, specifically, how has he been bad? Oh, well, he's just been bad.
Yeah, he's just not doing the things that he needs to do to be a productive player.
He's not playing good basketball.
Bad.
But I think we should talk about JR for a minute because I thought he was really good on Oladipo today.
Yep. I would agree with that. He's been digging in defensively, and maybe he was playing the LeBron game of I'm just not going to try on defense during the regular season, and I'll turn it on in the playoffs. Maybe JR needs to be in the conversation for the Cavs' second best player. Not that he's been that outstanding, but I mean it's a pretty damn low bar to clear.
Yeah, right now it is. Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
Is this falling in the same category of, oh, he's been bad? Oh, he's actually been okay.
Yeah, he's been okay. I do like the fact that, like, his hands have been a lot more active on Oladipo. Like, I don't think Oladipo's handle is as tight as you'd want it to be. Like, we talked about this in a previous pod. Like, maybe it's a 6.5 out of 10 kind of handle. And, like, he's really, like, engaged in that space, like where he's just kind of like he's not reaching it, but his hands are active and he's making Oladipo kind of put the ball where he doesn't want to, and then these hard doubles have really gotten the ball out of his hands. But like, I mean, Oladipo, I thought they had their best game on him in the series, and it's
by far,
and it's not just his percentages being low. Like, because he hit his threes all right, but like, I think they did a good job of not giving him these free runways to the lane.
Yeah, he wasn't able to probe in the same way that he was in past games. Like, he, as we said with the Cavs, how they weren't able to compromise the defense, Oladipo wasn't able to do that. Collison was able to a little bit. Lance Stevenson was able to find his way into the paint, but Oladipo, his movement was a little bit restricted on the court.
Yeah, I didn't feel like, oh, shit, he's walking right to that spot that he wants to walk up to. Like, they did a nice job taking him away from the spots that he wanted to get to. And I really do think, like, I think it's more likely that this is the Oladipo we're going to get the rest of the series. Not, like, to this extent, probably, because he had a pretty awful game. But games 3 and 4... he shot 5 of 15 and 5 of 20. Games 1 and 2, he went 11 of 19 and 9 of 18. And it's like, yeah, that feels... I think they figured some stuff out on him. And defenders are getting used to the rhythm that he attacks in. And the Cavs have done a nice job on him for the most part.
So that's been the only tangible growth in this series from the Cavs, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, they haven't figured out any way to get Love going or to find him on the move. They haven't found a way to get anything beyond that flare action for Kyle Korver, which they should just run every play because Kyle Korver never gets tired anyway. And it's the only thing that consistently generates a good look, other than LeBron just going God mode. Yeah, I think that's really been the greatest example of their growth. I think their scheme has been smarter, but I don't really think it's as much of a scheme thing in the last two games as much as, like, individually players are stepping up a little more.
Yeah, which is a lot of what this team needs.
And, like, yeah, and, like, part of that is, like, you know, like, your reaction, I think, when you hear that is to think, oh, the Cavs weren't trying in games 1 and 2. No, I don't think that's what it is. I think what it is like, they now know some of those tricks and some of that rhythm. That, you know, that kind of comes when you play a guy over and over and over again. Now, he'll probably make us look like idiots in game 5 and score like 50 points. But,
right. Because we have no idea what we're talking about. And maybe that's part of the problem. We're sitting here being like, oh, well, our analysis is that the guys that haven't been good need to be better. And maybe we aren't seeing much. But, yeah, I feel... I don't know what to feel with this series. It's so strange, and man, there were moments in that game where it just felt like, okay, well, this is the end of all this.
Yeah, I felt at a couple points that it was like, oh, now it's over. It's over. It was a good run.
And I think that's partly blinding.
Right now.
Yeah, and I think that's partly blinding my analysis of the series. Is
yeah, I think so too.
You're just kind of riding the emotion and trying to hope for the best with the next play rather than really digging in. And I'm definitely going to need to watch this game again tomorrow, which
have fun with that. I'm not watching it again.
Yeah. That's going to be a bit of an experience, but,
I think that's very true though. I think that's something we should talk about is like the weight of that. And I think it makes everything, I mean, every Cavs win and every Cavs loss has always felt more important than it is.
Which
LeBron
is something even Kevin
era.
Love talked about. Like LeBron or Kevin Love talked about that before the playoffs, that there's the added pressure of LeBron's free agency that they feel. And I'm sure with every single miss, every blown opportunity, that adds to the pressure that all the role players are feeling. Especially the new guys that aren't just new to the Cavaliers, they're new to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's an ugly feeling, and it makes it really hard to contextualize anything. You know, like every bad stretch or every body language expert, quote unquote, in the world is just watching these games and drawing these huge conclusions, and I think we are too. And I think it's really draining, man. I think that's a big reason why I'm having so little fun beyond the fact that the Cavs don't look good and haven't.
And plus, you're just not a fun person.
Oh, that's a good point. But yeah, it's, it it's certainly a burden on this team and on the fan base, and it's affecting the way even non-fans are reacting, perhaps rightfully so, but in that capacity, I know a lot of people are talking about how this feels like 2010. We've talked about that in stretches. I think that more than anything else is what makes this feel like 2010, is the fact that we feel that everything is assigned a greater weight and importance and feels heavier and worse than it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a coping mechanism, but there were stretches in this game where I'm like, okay, I'm ready for that sweet release. I'm ready for this to be over. But knowing the Cavs, it's going to be a painful ride, but they're going to find ways to extend this ride, and I don't know necessarily how I feel about that. If we're getting completely bleak, you mentioned how the Cavs have been playing individually defensively on Oladipo. How much fear is there in your mind of the Cavs defense turning a little bit more into the Cavs than they've been? Like, do you expect JR to continue to play defense like that, or do you think there's going to be a bit of a drop off? Because I don't know if we can consider that a constant yet, or a constant variable in the series.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because on one hand, you're absolutely right. But on the other hand, the Pacers offense sucks. Like, they don't have a lot of weapons. So, like,
there's a bit of a gap from how I felt at the beginning of the series, where I don't feel confident saying that. I think the Cavs defensively are capable of making anyone look good offensively.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not saying it can't. I mean, they look terrible in game one, like, defensively. And they're going to have stretches where they look terrible. But, like, I'm not sure that the Pacers, I guess, all I can say is I'm not 100% sure that the Pacers will go off and, like, just start torching them, which against most opponents I would say, yeah, this is all bullshit, and they're going to start getting torched very soon.
Josh Eberle just tweeted this, so don't check Twitter. LeBron is first on the team in points with 130. Who would you guess is second, and where do you think they're at?
Oh, this sucks. Is it JR?
It's actually Love. Okay. And how many?
Let's say four games. Let's say, what is LeBron at?
130.
Let's say 63.
48.
Oh my God, Justin.
LeBron is number one on the team in assists with 32. Who do you think is number two?
This is fucking mean. Let's say Calderon.
It's Jeff Green.
I thought I was gonna guess Jeff Green, but I thought it would be an asshole thing to ask.
Yeah, he's got eight.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Oh, that was mean. At least rebounds is close. Tonight, so. Yeah, at least rebounds is close. LeBron has 47 and Love is 42, so.
Kevin Love put up a 5-11 in a must-have playoff game.
Maybe we can hope that a little less pressure will do them some good at home.
Yeah, I guess. That crowd is going to be so. That's going to be a real tight butthole crowd.
Oh, yeah. They need to get out to an early lead to get the crowd into it. Otherwise, I think they are going to be just as nervous as we are.
First sign of trouble, you're gonna hear 1,000 buttholes just slam shut.
Is the PA announcer going to say, "Nobody panic, everything is fine again"?
Not the best look from Ahmad, I think is the guy's name is. I don't go to a lot of Cavs games, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's Ahmad. Yeah, that's
his last name. Kind of funny. It's like,
isn't it Crump? Yeah, yeah. We're great fans. Yeah, that's an all-time low from a in-game ops. Although my favorite low point for a playoff game in-game ops is when Toronto's horn stopped working, so they just had a guy say horn every time the buzzer was supposed to go off.
That's amazing.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, horn.
Couldn't he have just gone, eh?
Nope, it had to be horn every time.
Yeah, I don't know how productive replicating the original sound is. Or if that's more embarrassing. I don't know what the worst outcome is. So in that capacity, I sympathize.
Now that the Cavs have tied everything up at 2-2, even though it's in ugly fashion, reality is they still count just as much as a blowout win would count. Do you want to get some jokes in on the Raptors or the Celtics?
Well, the Celtics, like, this is what's so annoying about the Celtics winning the first two games is now it's like, any jokes we make, everyone's like, they shouldn't have even been there. Even though, like, they clearly thought they were going to win the series no matter what after those first two games. So
I mean, I picked Celtics in six.
Well, yeah, it's because the Bucks suck ass.
Yeah, because they're the dumbest team.
The Spurs, man. Just gritting out a win. Old Manu. That was fun. That was nice to see. Manu brought me more joy in those 12 minutes than the Cavs have brought me in four games.
That's pretty damn sad. Why are you so sad?
I'm worn out. I moved this weekend. I'm getting married next Saturday, so I got nothing left in the tank.
Oh, yeah, I got everything boxed up in my place moving on Friday and Saturday.
Listen, I'm more put upon than you, so don't try to one up me. I win. I don't know. It was it is actually a kind of fun day of games, other than Toronto. I didn't really watch Toronto-Washington because I was busy, but...
Oh, man, that was a hilariously bad collapse.
Good to know.
It was rough.
Well, I mean, Milwaukee almost blew it, too. They did the... I know that the coaches, like, mic'd up, wired or whatever, are always, like, going to be really limited. But Joe Prunty was just killing me. Like... they cut to him, like, Stevens was, like, at least being, like, you know, we have to attack in semi-transition or something like that. And Prunty's like, come on, guys. And that's it. Old Rand Paul coaching the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how these game fives go for basically every team, because I feel like all of these series are still up in the air, and the East is completely wide open. Even the Raptors, who you would figure would be by far the best team, the way that they're kind of falling apart and having some of those mental errors that they've had in past playoff series. All the demons that everybody worried about are starting to kind of come to the surface.
God, what if the Cavs get to play if the Cavs somehow win the series and then they get to play the 8th seed in the second round?
That, man, I am not going to act confident that they're going to make it out of the series. I think
I'm not that confident. I mean, I'm not saying they can't. And I think it's probably more likely that they get out of it than they don't, just because they have home court.
I would say so as well.
They have the best player in the series. But, like, they've just been such a mess, it's hard to be confident about anything. But, like, if they do, and then they get, like, the there is no basketball god's justice if they get to play the Wizards.
And that's the frustrating, and it's somewhat endearing just because I love chaos in basketball, but the Cavs really face no consequences to their BS. No. And what they managed to get away with is just absolutely absurd.
Yeah, well, then they might not get away with it this time.
They may not, but the... Oh, God.
It's a mess, man.
But it really is a mess.
And Minnesota's about to... tomorrow's they're just going to tie it up with the Rockets. I'm so bummed that we didn't get to see Minnesota play the Warriors.
I think that would have been
such a fun series, and, like, I just don't think they have a snowball's chance against Houston. I know they won their last game, but also it was their first home game in like 13 years in the playoffs. So
yeah, that game
bit
three
of an energy
is a
change.
Yeah, game three is one of the toughest games to win on the road. And I wasn't, if there was going to be one that Houston dropped, it was going to be that game. And I think from there, they're just going to take care of business. I think Pelicans Warriors has a chance of being interesting if Steph misses a game or two. But I still think the Warriors are just going to handle them. And yeah, I have really no, I have no idea what to expect with a lot of these series in the East. I think game five is basically going to decide the outcome of almost every series that's tied up.
Yeah, I mean, it typically does, right? So
God, you're an asshole. You're right, but you are.
No, I wasn't trying to be an asshole that time. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's I think we're gonna learn a lot here. Cavs have until Wednesday, right?
I haven't checked that, but that sounds nice because they need George Hill back in a big way.
Yeah. I like that. And to be clear, he shouldn't play if his back is hurt. But like, I liked how aggressively the Cavs like leaked out stuff about like all the stuff they did to try to stem the tide of fans like talking shit about him.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
And that's
James Herbert just tweeted, playoff hero Kyle Korver wrote a sports column for his high school paper. It was called Kyle's Comment, with the comment being spelled with a K.
Damn it.
We are relying on a 37-year-old man to be our number two.
Kyle. And Raptors Kyle. Fans know that doesn't normally play out that well.
No. Ashton Kutcher looking dude. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the team. This is what we got. So I don't know, man. I guess we'll just wait till the next one and not really learn anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's worked out pretty well for me in real life. I'm assuming you'll be free for Wednesday after the game.
We'll see. I'm getting married, so no guarantees that my soon-to-be wife won't kill me if I run and go pot. So
okay, well,
Justin, for the listeners, Justin might have a guest host after Wednesday. We'll see.
Well, there you go. So, we have completed four games in the series and don't know a whole lot more than we knew before game one. So that's definitely a good thing. This is all fine. We're fine.
It's fine.
Well, we've lost steam as the Cavs do every third quarter, so we might as well wrap this up. To all our listeners, thanks for your support. Hopefully you guys are surviving this and are handling your emotions a little better than Carter and I. But we do appreciate your support. Remember that you can subscribe to the podcast as well as leave a rating and a review. The best way to support the show. As well as send us emails, questions, feedback at chasedownpod@gmail.com. So until next time, go Cavs.